thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Jesus truly is the Prince of Peace, isn't he? And, you know, often we think about peace in terms of what's not happening in our lives. If there's no storm and no difficulties, no trial, then we'll have peace. Well, that's not always true, is it? You can have no obvious trials or difficulties or storms, but still not have peace in your life. And we see that so often. And we see it so often in the Gospels as well. Jesus in the midst of a storm. And there is peace because he's there. And he makes all the difference. Well, welcome to you. And I can see your faces, at least half of your lovely faces. And it's difficult to see what's going on behind and underneath that mask. But there's a song that tells me all I need to know. When Irish eyes are smiling. And so I'll take that this morning and just trust that underneath that mask you're not sticking your tongue out at me and all the rest of it. It's great to see you, and those on Zoom as well, welcome you as you connect with us here this morning. So we're turning to Psalm 23 once again. And we will be for the next 4 weeks now. Last week we started a series in Psalm 23 called The Connected Life. The Connected Life in Psalm 23. Last week we looked at the connected life as a contented life in verse 1. This morning we're going to look at the connected life is a consistent life in verses 2 and 3. So Psalm 23. I'm going to read the whole psalm from verse 1. A psalm of David. The Lord, Yahweh, the I Am, the great I Am, the eternal, self-sufficient, all-sufficient God, with whom there is no lack, depends on no one, nothing outside of himself. All of life flows from him. He is the fount of everything, all that is alive, all that has life and breath and is in existence comes from the Lord, Yahweh. And this Lord, this all-sufficient, self-sufficient, eternally sufficient Lord God Almighty is my Shepherd. Not just a God who is distant and awesome and out there, but a Lord who is closer than my very breath. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. With me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life and beyond my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a wonderful psalm, isn't it? A beloved psalm, full of life, full of confidence, full of trust in Yahweh, the Almighty One, who is the one who cares for us. So this morning, the connected life is a consistent life. Verses 2 and 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Well, last week, I tried to show how a contented life is a vital sign of a true and genuine Christian life. Now, we may think that contentment is no big thing. It's no big deal. It's like something that's nice, but it's not exactly a vital sign, is it, really, of genuine Christian life? Well, we may be tempted to think that, but God's word says, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. It's huge gain. It's something that is massive. That is how God's word analyzes and settles the question of contentment. What is it? Well, if you have it, it's a tremendous gain. It's huge gain in your life. You see, our inner contentment or lack of it can tell us so much about the condition of our hearts. As Augustine said, and I quoted last week and I quote many weeks, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." And that's so true. And we know that to be true in our lives. So the question for us all this morning is, has our heart found rest in Christ? Are we in our inner place at rest, at peace, peace with God, peace of God, ruling and reigning in our lives? That only comes through a connected life, being connected to the great shepherd. This morning, we'll see how a consistent life is another vital sign of a true and genuine Christian life. You see, these things are not incidental. They make up something so significant: contentment, consistency in our lives. True signs of genuine faith and genuine connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the fact for us all is this. When we think about a consistent life, how many of us truly, really are consistent in our Christian lives? If we're honest, and because we're Christians, we should be honest, yeah? If we're honest, we all have our ups and downs. We'll blow hot and cold at times. There are few, if any, who have an unbroken upward path to glory. Very few, I would suggest. Oh, to be always what we are sometimes. Yeah? In your good days, in your good times, in those seasons when you know you're doing well, things are good, you're content, you're walking in that peace that God has given to you, you're growing, you sense that God is with you, and you feel somehow that you're being used of God and you're useful in His kingdom. Oh, to be always what we are sometimes. But here's the point about our inconsistencies as believers. If you're a true believer, you'll know when you're out of step with God. Now, that seems like a contradiction in terms, because a contented life is, a consistent life rather, is a connected life. So we're consistent because we're Christian people. But the thing is this, we are like sheep and we still do go astray. That's our nature. And God is our shepherd. And He cares for us. And He leads us. And He guides us. And the point about our inconsistencies is this. If you're a true believer, you'll know when you're out of step with God. and you'll do something about it. You'll do something to get back in step with God. You'll never be comfortable as a true believer. You can never, ever be comfortable being out of step with God. If you're not a true believer, if you're not truly born again, you have no idea if you're in step or out of step with God. You may guess or assume, but you'll never have the assurance in your heart that you're connected with the shepherd. You can never truly rest assured. Does inner turmoil mark your life? Are you always feeling you've never done enough? You've never prayed enough. You've never given enough. You've never gone to church enough. You've never read your Bible enough. Let me ask you a question. How much is enough? How much will satisfy you that you have done enough to have peace with God? Where's the mark? Because here's the thing, we can set marks for ourselves. And that's kind of what religion does. Religion sets the barrier and says this, if you do this, this, and this, hey, you're in. And so that's why there's so much self-righteousness and spiritual pride, even amongst Christians, because we set our own standards and say, well, if I have my quiet time and I go to this meeting, that meeting, and read my Bible such and such and such, then that's it. I'm in. I'm fine. But how much is enough? How can we truly rest? How can we truly trust in the works that we do? How do we truly know if we're ever truly, really connected with the Good Shepherd? How can we live a consistent Christian life? How do we know if we are one of his sheep? And that's the very first thing that David recognizes as the primary sign of true faith, of true connection to the Good Shepherd. What's the first thing? The first thing that the shepherd gives to his sheep is what? What is it that David says, here's Yahweh, here's the Almighty, he's my shepherd. The first thing he gives to his sheep is what? What's the first thing God gave to you? Really gave to you? We call it our salvation. We call it being saved. What was it? Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Ah, that's it. The key to a consistent Christian life is first rest. Rest. This is totally counterintuitive to how we think. The first thing is, come on, we need to get going. We need to get up and at him. We need to get a toolbox out. We need to get weapons of warfare. We need to get going because, you know, that's how we start things. You know, you get the guy to come and do some DIY in your house and he turns up and the first thing he says to you is, switch on the kettle, will you? Switch on the kettle. Got any Kit Kats? Well, this is a bit different. Need a cup of tea, a wee biscuit, and there he is, he sits down in your living room, in your favourite chair. He sits there and has his wee cup of tea for the first half an hour. You think to yourself, what? It's just as well not paying by the hour. It's counter, and it doesn't work like that. You come and you do a job and you start at 8 o'clock and you better have that cement mixer going by that time and get going and cracking. That's how we think, that's how we work. God doesn't work like that at all. When we come to Him, the first thing that He says to us is rest. Rest. Be at peace. The key to consistency in the Christian life is first and foremost rest. Spiritual rest. And this is only found in God through Jesus. Do you have it? Do you have that? If you don't have that, your Christian life will be all over the place. You'll be up and down. You'll never think you've done enough. Never think. And you can either be in despair or you can be in spiritual pride, or you're up and down and all over the place. If we don't start from this place and return to this place when we are at rest, because He makes me lie down in green pastures. And if we never get to that place, oh, there will be such inner turmoil, such a lack of rest, dis-ease in our heart of hearts. And we begin to drive ourselves and strive and others round about us, and we become so judgmental of others because they're not doing enough. I love that old hymn, "Dear Lord and Father of Mankind." Beautiful old hymn. Verse 4 says this: "Drop thy still dews of quietness, till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress." Lord, please take from our souls the strain and stress. And here's the key right here. "And let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace." Wow. Here's someone who knew God. Here's someone who knows the absolute vital necessity of resting and understanding what rest means and does. "Let our ordered, consistent, rhythmic lives confess the beauty of the peace of God." How many of our lives are really like that, honestly? Run around, try to catch our tails, and so stressed out. Stress just seems to be the word of the 21st century, isn't it? Everybody's stressed. And if you're not stressed, you're stressed because you're not stressed because everybody else is stressed, and it's just like that's what sheep do. As soon as one gets stressed, they're all stressed. It's like, what's he stressed about? You know why people were buying toilet roll at the start of the lockdown? Why were people buying toilet roll? People were buying toilet roll because people were buying toilet roll. That's why people were buying toilet roll. Because people were buying toilet roll. It's like, why would you do that? They must know something we don't. Now, come on, confession is good for the soul. How many of you got 25 boxes of toilet roll up the attic? Come on, confess it. It's a word of knowledge for somebody here this morning. Like sheep. Just like sheep. But if we have that sense of God, He's my shepherd, I'm not going to be in want for anything. Not even toilet roll. He's my shepherd. Lord, please let our ordered lives confess the beauty of your peace. We will never, ever find order. Even as Christian people, we will never find order unless we return to that place of rest in Christ. What is it? What was it that Jesus said? The first thing that we should do as he speaks, come to me. Matthew 11:28. Come to me. All you who laboring and are heavy laden. If you're like that, struggling and striving and under a weight of heaviness, come to me. Come to me, and I will what? I'll give you rest. That's the first thing. And again, we can almost minimize this as something that's incidental, but I tell you, it's primary. Primary. Are we in rest? Are we in that place of rest in Christ? And it goes on to say this. Yes, Jesus does go on to say this. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's the sequence as the same as that in Psalm 23. It's the same. It's not first, take my yoke upon you. That's not first. I want to work for God. Well, great. But some of the workers who work, quotes, for God are some of the most demanding and driving, the people who don't have peace in their hearts at all. Striving to be at peace with God, to earn something from God, to say, look, God, how good I am and wonderful I am, and please will you accept me now, when all the time God says, it's already done. I've already accepted you. I already love you. Receive my peace as a gift of grace. So the sequence is the same. Come to me. Not to take my yoke upon you first, but first, let me give you rest. Here's the rhythm of consistency in these two verses in Psalm 23. There's a rhythm. First, it's verse 2, he makes me lie down. Then he leads me. Okay, so we're resting and then we're being led. We're going somewhere. It's not just a lazy, lethargic thing. Come to Jesus and sit down and that's the end of it. No, but we need to rest first. But then there's a leading. He leads me beside still waters. And then verse 3, he restores my soul. And then verse 3, the second part, he leads me again. He leads me in paths of righteousness. I don't know if you can see this, but I see this as clear as day. It's 1, 2, 1, 2. It's rest. It's being led. It's he restores my soul. He leads me. I rest. He leads me. He restores me. He leads me. And that's how it goes. And here it is. What's all this for? In the end of verse 3, for his name's sake, for the sake of his name, the reputation of God is connected to and is reflected in and through his flock, his people. It's rooted in rest. How do you know if a shepherd's a good shepherd or a bad shepherd? Look at his flock. Look at his flock. Are they well cared for? Are they at rest? Do they lie down? Do they have that confidence to lie down? It's reflected in the flock. So we, as the sheep of his pasture, God's reputation, how other people see God, is connected to and reflected in and through us, the sheeple of his pasture. And it all goes back to rest. Am I truly resting in him? This principle of rest first is right through the Bible. Look at, if you look to the book of Ephesians, if you ever done that in your lives, at any time, it's a great book. And I remember reading this book as a young Christian by a man called Watchman Nee, who was a Chinese Christian. I believe he died in prison for his faith. An amazing writer, incredible insight. And he wrote a small commentary on Ephesians called The Christian Life, Sit, Walk, Stand. Sit, Walk, Stand. And here we see it again. The first thing is not stand. The first thing is not walk. The first thing is sit. And so if you read Ephesians, read his commentary, you'll see it. We sit and we rest and we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That's the first thing in Ephesians. We walk then by faith, keeping in step with the Spirit. We put on the full armor of God in the day of battle and we stand our ground. Here I am. I'm standing and I'm not going down. All because, firstly, I'm resting. I'm resting and I'm trusting and I'm knowing that my shepherd is the Almighty. And he's with me and he's for me. And if that grips your heart, you'll stand. You will stand in anything. You will stand in any battle, in any trial, in any difficulty. You will stand against cancer. You will stand against the fears that dominate your life and the things that want to rob you. You'll stand because you know that you're seated with him in the heavenly places. You have rested in Christ and you have received the peace of God which passes all understanding. It's right throughout creation, the creation story. It's the same principle. Rest first. First rest, then work. Genesis 1:5, God called the light day and the darkness he called night, and there was evening and there was morning the first day. Now, again, back to front, yeah? There was evening and there was morning the first day. Isn't it like we start a day in the morning, yeah? So it's a new day. But that's not a creation principle. That's not God's principle. That's not God's plan. See, the day begins in the evening. The evening and the morning were the first day. Each of the 7 days, it's all there. In the evening, and there was morning, first day, second day, and so on. So what's this got to do with it? Well, we know as well that the Jewish Sabbath was a day of rest. And if you've ever been to Israel, you'll know that the Sabbath day begins on the Friday evening, not on Saturday. It begins in the evening, because the evening in the morning, that's how it works. So God says, lays down this principle. What do you normally do in the evening? Unless you're on shifts or whatever, or you've got somebody at home that drives you with a stick to do the DIY when you get home from your work. It's usually a time for rest. It's usually a time where you sit, and we see it with Adam and Eve and God walking with them in the cool of the evening. And it was the time of the rest and when God met with them. And that was the beginning of the day. And the Sabbath begins on Friday evening. And just as I bring this to a close this morning, I want to think, and I want us to think about the cross. And I want us to think about the Friday. I want us to think about the Sabbath day that begins in the Friday through to the Saturday. And I want us to think about Christ as our Sabbath and Christ himself as our rest. And the Bible says this, it was about the sixth hour, 12 o'clock, noonday, and on the Friday, and there was darkness. On the Sabbath day, there was darkness, 12 noon, over the whole land. until 3 o'clock. What are you thinking? The Jews are thinking. This is the Sabbath. Sabbath begins at a few minutes before sunset. That's when we should not be working. There should be no work. Can you imagine the confusion and the panic as the sun had gone down, as it were, on the Sabbath day? And they were caught working on the Sabbath day. For the first time in the history of the world, Sabbath came early, very early, at midday. So what's the point? The point is this. We often think of the darkness represented, the Father's turning away from the Son as Jesus was crucified and the Father turns away and the darkness comes. Or the time when darkness reigns. But I think there's something just as significant in the fact that the Sabbath, the day of rest, that begins at sunset on a Friday evening, and that was the very moment, the very time, that Jesus Christ was purchasing for us our rest, our Sabbath, our ceasing from our works. I love that. I love the sense that on Calvary, Jesus Christ, our Sabbath, our Savior, our Good Shepherd, ushered in a Sabbath, not just for a day, not just for a few, not just for a people group, but for all who would come and for all eternity. He ushered in the Sabbath for the soul. David didn't see that day, but he spoke about it when he says, "He's my shepherd, and he makes me lie down in green pastures. I rest from my striving, and I rest completely and totally and utterly in the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross, and I trust in the blood to wash me and to cleanse me, both now and every day and forever." Some of you haven't had the experience of a near-death experience, and maybe you should thank God, maybe you shouldn't. But it's only in those moments when you feel or may sense, actually, truly, really, this may be the end of my life. Not to be melodramatic and all the rest of it, but have you ever been there? And it's at that moment that you are forced to come face to face with what and who it is that you are really trusting in. Not only for this life, but for the life to come. It's a big thing to be dangling over the edge of eternity and wondering and thinking, well, wait a minute, do I really, really believe? Do I really trust in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me and wash me from my... Is my eternal security absolutely guaranteed? Is it? You need to know that. Need to know that. And we can only know that as we trust in Christ, which leads to a consistent life. Not only in this life, but the life to come. and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Talk about consistency. Forever. No more consistent than that. Folks, let's bow our heads in prayer. We're going to continue to worship and bless the Lord this morning. Lord, we thank you this morning that there is nothing haphazard or sporadic or random or inconsistent about you. You are absolutely faithful, completely dependable, and totally trustworthy. You are unfailingly and consistently true to who you are, always. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who was and is and will forever be completely committed to his sheep.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.